like, you know what? I would kind of be better just kind of backing away and taking a break from things, just get myself healthy. And so, but I know that that was like, look about it now, it was totally the enemy trying to keep me from these things that I know that God's called me to. So anyways, back in, I guess, March, I was really struggling, and I just had a few things that had happened, just people in my life just had said some things, and it was just really, really weighing on me, and it's not anything against them. It was totally like my response to this rejection that was trying to take hold of me, and so I was really struggling one weekend, and we were here for like a leadership weekend, and I was having a really hard time just engaging, and I got up on the floor, and I was just praying and just trying to enter into worship, and kind of, well, before that a little bit, I had been reading this book, and it was about rejection. I don't know if you all have heard the book Uninvited by Lisa Turkhurst, but it was major, major healing in my life. So if you deal with that rejection, and it's, I would highly recommend that book, and just, you know, talking to other people. But so I was reading this book, and it was, I had kind of put it down for a little bit, because it was just, you know, you're dealing with all this stuff, and all this stuff is coming up, and I'm like, I need to kind of take a break from it for a little bit. And so then, anyways, I'm up here, and I'm worshiping and stuff like that, and all of a sudden, I see the Lord, and he just comes, and he, like, wraps this cloak around me, and just envelops me in this cloak and in his love, and he's right there kneeling with me, and his arms are around me, and like all these like daggers that were coming at me, like that cloak wasn't getting to me, and it was just like this amazing picture that the Lord gave me. And then another picture he gave me of the scar, like I just felt like I had these scars too, and he was just filling them up with gold, like the scars were gold. And so I was like, wow, that was really good. I was still struggling a lot that weekend, but it was like a few days later, Joe was like out of town, and I just was like, I've got to get before the Lord, and I'm just journaling, and I'm getting back into this book. And literally, put this book down, I'm reading the same exact thing. Like, she was like, yeah, the Lord just enveloped her with this cloak and protecting her from these darts. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm just weeping, and I'm calling Joe, and I'm like, you're not going to believe what I just read. And he's like, that's exactly what you saw. And then even like the scars, like it was the same thing with the scars and the gold, like the Lord filling it up with gold. And I just was like, thank you, Jesus. Like, just thank you for, like, I mean, that was just one instant. Like, the Lord has kind of taken me through this journey very gently with me. And just like he's done, like, I'm done with rejection. I'm done with, like, man's opinion. Like, it was weighing me down so much. And that, you know, I was just so thankful. And he is just taking me to where now I feel, like, joyful again. I am experiencing freedom like I haven't experienced in a long time. So, anyways, I just wanted to testify that.
Well, my opinion is that was awesome. Well, good morning, y'all. What did Michelle see? I mean, that was not just a vision of insignificance. What did she see? What did the lady in the book write about? What was that? I just want to ask you to take that and put it over here on the side, and I'll pick it up in a second. But not too long ago, I heard a pastor speaking and listening to tape, and he made a statement. He said, why did Jesus come? And why did he come? And one thing he said, why Jesus came, was to show and display what a man rightly related to God could do. I add to that, the resurrection power empowers us to walk in that example. So what is it? Jesus came to show what a man or woman rightly related to God could do, could experience, could walk in. What is that? What is that? You know, we're called to walk in his steps. And so how is it that he walked in right relationship with God and saw the manifestation of the reality of his Father in all that he did? And it's two things that we're going to focus on. Like 2 weeks ago, I started into this where I was talking about the identity of Christ in us. And if you'll notice in the title today is the abundant relationship with God. And we're going to focus on one part of it, the walking in the reality of Christ in us. And so why don't you go to the next slide and I'll show you something here. Because the reality of how Jesus walked in abundant relationship with God the Father is two things. And if we're not careful, these two things can become head knowledge. And I pray in the day that this which we're talking about today goes from here to here. And the key, let me just say this, put this commercial in there. The key for something to go from here to here is understanding. And the Greek word for understanding literally means to put together. In other words, you put together what the meaning is. And the second thing is you put it together into your life, in my life. And so it says in Matthew chapter 13, if we hear the word and we do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. So if you do not understand what I'm about to say today, you really, be honest with you, it's just fruitless of what you came here. And so I pray that you have understanding, that all of us have understanding of what we're talking about today. And so Christ in us, hope of glory. That's the overarching thing we're going to talk about today. But I want you to notice how Jesus walked. Notice this in John 14, right after Philip says to him, show us the Father and it'll be enough. And Jesus goes off and he says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And I talked a little bit about this 2 weeks ago. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. That's the two things. God, the Father in Jesus, and Jesus in the Father. That is the basis of the right relationship with God, or an abundant relationship with God. Now notice as he goes on here, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. You in Christ, Christ in you. You in Christ, Christ in you. What is it? What does it mean? What is it that you and I can enter into this abundant place of relationship with God? Christ in me, me in Christ. What is it? I mean, I think in Christ, in Jesus, I can't remember the number of times it is mentioned in the New Testament. In the book of Ephesians, it's staggering. I think it's 30 or 40 different times that one phrase is used in the book of Ephesians. But then there's the other side, Christ in us. Christ in us. So let me talk about this real quick, briefly, about what this. Go to the next slide, please. And notice this, how Jesus' desire for us, this same combination to be for us. When he prays in John 17, he's praying to the Father, he prays the reality of this into existence. Notice this. He says that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. There's that combination. That they also may be in us, okay, us in them, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I in them, you in me. There's this combination. And this is what Jesus prayed. Now, here's a question for you. Do you know what that means? You know, the Word of God says that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And Hosea 4:6, Isaiah 5:13 says my people go into captivity because of lack of knowledge. My conviction is that if we do not understand the reality of in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus in us, walking in a relationship with God will become more difficult. I'm not saying possible, but it will become more difficult. And so I believe this with all my heart, what I'm sharing with you today. And so let's look at this. And what does it mean, Christ in me? and me in Christ. Let's go to the next slide and watch this. First off, in Christ. When you think in Christ, it's got to do with your place or your position. Because see, the reality is, y'all, for the Gentiles, we were alienated and separated from the commonwealth of God. Jews like Shane, who did not know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, was separated by sin, separated from the life of God. So whether you were Jew or Gentile, because of the effects of sin, we're separated from the life of God. We're outside of life. We're outside of acceptance. We're outside of the provisions of God. That's what sin and death does. But when we say in Christ, what happens is, in fact, let me just quote a past scripture I don't have up here, Ephesians 1:13. It says, after listening to the message of the gospel of salvation, having also believed, you're sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when you believe, you are put in Christ. You are no longer outside, you're inside. You have a place, you have a position. And if you go to John chapter 14, where it says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, he go on to say, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. That place is not a mansion. It's not a house. That is far, far from the truth. That Greek word is only used one other time in the New Testament. It's in John 14, 23. It's in relationship to he who loves me, the Father and I, will come and make our abode with them. Where it talks about, I go to prepare a place that's singular for you, plural. It's not everybody having a house. It's one place. That one place is our place in Christ Jesus. We have a place. We're no longer outside. We're no longer guests in the house. We have a place. It just so happens that place we have, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That which he has, we have. In John 17, 22, Jesus prays, the glory that I have with the Father, the glory you have given me, I give to them. That which is thought about Jesus has also been given to you. That's what it means to be in Christ. You have a place. And when you have a place, that goes, many things go with that. You know, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the what? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What did Michelle see? And when we were talking this week and she told me that story, I'm going, Michelle, you have the privilege of seeing physically the reality of what it means to be in Christ. That's what it was. That's what she saw. Absolute accepted. Accepted in the Beloved. So when you think in Christ, that's your place. And y'all, you got to realize what's there. I mean, to be in Christ means you get everything he is. It is massive. Well, what does it mean, Christ in us? Why is that so powerful? Go on to the next slide, please. In Christ is our... Oh, I'm going to show you this. I got so excited about this. Back up, please. You know, one more down. With a view to an administration of the suitable to the fullness of times, that is summing up all things in Christ, that everything, everyone would have and walk in that place in Christ Jesus. Summing up everything. And the problem is if we don't receive that place, we don't walk in that acceptance, that's where rejection comes in. Because in him, in that circle of him, is 100% acceptance. But see, I can step out of that in my heart, and guess what I feel is the rejection and the condemnation that is on the world. But if I allow my heart to sit in the place, in the acceptance that I have in Christ Jesus, guess what? That's what Michelle's heart was showing. God was revealing to her in that place, and she allowed her heart to accept it. All the darts of the wicked one were just no avail. It's going. Notice how it keeps going. So I noticed when you think in Christ gives place, he has raised us with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your place. In Ephesians 2:13, you now in Christ have been formerly far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You have a what? Place. A position. Not like a job or a title. Well, you do. Son or daughter of God, which means a lot. So that's in Christ. Christ in us. Well, let's go on. The next slide, please. Christ in us is God's presence in us. Now, y'all, we can say that really quick and it not mean much. But the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the treasure which for and mystery which had been for ages hidden according to Colossians chapter 1:26, the reality that God himself, Jesus Christ, taking up residence in us, y'all, has got to do with his presence. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer what? I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. Now, question is, in our, y'all, this last week, how much living did you do, and how much living Jesus do in you? That's the question. And the difference is, y'all, the results. Is the results. How much life is generated? How much things happen? In fact, what is the significance? And I preached this 2 weeks ago. What is the significance of Christ in us? Notice, go to the next slide, please. And watch this. First thing is, Christ in us is the impartation of life. Notice this. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is life. Literally is life. It's not alive. That's not a verbal form. It's a noun. Is life because of righteousness. So Jesus in you is life. So you living out of the presence of God, living out of the reality of him in you, means that you will release life in wherever and whatever you do. Christ in you, it's life. You, your flesh is death. Mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Mindset on the flesh is death. Second thing is, we spoke on this two weeks ago, however long it was. I don't need to go in details. The second thing is, Christ in us is the way to live life. Now, I want to just put before us, y'all, that you do not just hear this today and say, okay, nice word, Ricky. You know, that's sweet. I hear you. I just want to say this to you. According to this past scriptures, how to live life. Look at it. Let's break it down. If I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live. And the question is, y'all, one of the things that we need to come out of today is, y'all, you're going to surrender trying to live. You are going to surrender you trying to live. What it means is, you know, the Christian life is not about dying, because in Christ you already died. I hear your Christians say, oh, I need to die to myself. I need to do it. No, dude, you've already died. The question is not whether you're going to die or not. The question is, how are you going to live? Because when you live to him, you put to death the deeds of the flesh. That's Romans chapter 8. Let those who live no longer live to themselves, but to him who died and gave himself up for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Christ lives in me. The life I know, I live in the flesh, in this physical body. I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself up for me. It's how to live life. This is the method. This is the secret. Y'all, if we had one passage of scripture and that was it, here you go. You could more than abundantly tear the world apart. It's interesting, in Ethiopia, before World War II, missionaries had gone into there and they started sharing the gospel and people started getting saved, a small group of people, and they started translating the Bible, New Testament, really, into the Ethiopian language. And all they could do was get, before the war broke out, get the Book of Mark. translated. And so the war hit and the Nazis came into Ethiopia, and so the missionaries got kicked out, just fled the nation. And so I was left of these handful of people who accepted Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in the book of Mark. And so the missionaries are thinking, oh, the poor people there, you know, they're just kind of surviving, you know, and because the, quote, the big bad missionaries are no longer there. And so anyway, when the war ended, they came back with this, you know, finding out how many, and if any believers were still existing. Come to find out, there was a revival that hit. In fact, there's a book written on this that I had to read in seminary called Fire on the Mountain. And literally what would happen is these people got a hold of the few basic truths that are in the book of Mark, and they believed it. When Jesus walked on the water, they came to a river that was overflowing. Well, Jesus did this. Let's do it. Walk across the water. I mean, it was crazy. They just saw it. They believed it. And they did it. And people get started saved. People getting healed, you know. It was crazy. Like what I'm saying is, if you only had one verse, this is your book of Mark. Christ lives in me. Dude, case closed. No longer I who live. Wow. So Christ in us is the way to live. The second thing is the third thing, sorry. God called me to preach, not teach math like Burby. So it says, you're of God, little children, and overcome them. You're back, brother. And you, so I got to pick on you a little bit before you leave. Because greater is he that is in you than what? Than he that is in the world. You're unconquerable. Unconquerable. Is that a word? Today. Thank you, Tony. Yeah. You know, you are, because why? Christ in you. You remind me of like a beach ball, somebody having a beach ball in a swimming pool, trying to hold it down. You know, you can't keep you down. Christ in you, that's what it means. He is the conqueror. He's the overcomer. Everything that he is you, because he's in you. Next thing is, it's the power. Christ in you is the power of transformation. That is, from hidden mysteries, which has been hidden past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the next verse says, it says, for this purpose we labor and strive, that we may present every man complete in Christ. It's got about growing up into the likeness of Jesus. Christ in you, hope of glory. Go to the next slide, please. Because Christ in you, hope of glory. What does 1 John 3:3 say? He who fixes his hope, key word here, hope, Christ in you, hope of glory. Glory means what? Thoughts, opinions, and recognition. Hope is the object of your faith. Hope is what you focus on and determine as a life source. When you focus your hope on Jesus, you look intensely at Jesus, that which you look at intensely will transform you into the very likeness of it. Christ in you, hope of glory, is the key to the transformed life. I just want to take off you the yoke of you having to change and fix yourself. Guys in a program, you don't have to fix yourself. Praise God, you can't do it anyway. And I take it off of Robbie. He ain't got to do it either. He ain't got to change you there. None of us can change ourselves. We can't change another person. But when a person catches a glimpse and focuses intensely and set their hope on the likeness of Jesus, it changes you into the very likeness of it. We with an unveiled face is beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Are transformed into the same image as from glory to glory. That when I'm having trouble loving Paul, I know that it's kind of, you know, so how could that be? But when I'm having trouble loving her, and it's just frustrating in our relationship. And in fact, not too long ago, I'm just going, God, it's just hard to struggle, Lord. And the Lord just said, Rick, stop trying to do it. Just look at me. Just fix your eyes on my glory as the love of the bridegroom. Just focus there. And as I looked intensely at the bridegroom of Jesus, it transformed me into the likeness of that. And so this journey started to pick up of loving her as Christ loved the church. It's the glory of Christ in me that transforms us into that very likeness. Fifth thing is it's Christ in us is the testimony of the reality of God. Notice this, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know you have sent me. Yeah, the world don't need to see us trying to live Jesus. They need to see Jesus. That's it. For you and I have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. If they see us and think about us, we've messed up. But if they see us and they think of Jesus, we've won. That's what it's all about. So that's the significance of Christ in us. You've got it in your notes. But I really want to talk real quick about making Christ in us a life-changing reality. And it's really these four little things here to focus on. And I just want to stir it up in us. And they're really, you know them, but it's just put them in a way to really allow the reality of Christ in us bust out, become real, permeate every facet of who you and I are. So let's go on. The first thing, go to the next slide, please. First thing is fixing our hope. Let's look at this. In Colossians 1:27 and 1 John 3:23. Let's think about this. Okay? To whom God willed to make known the riches of his glory, which is Christ in you, hope of glory. We just said this a while ago. But take 1 John 3 and let's think about it. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself. Well, the Greek word, there is no Greek word for the word fixed, so fixed is not there, okay? But literally the word there, hope, is a verb. And the translators were trying to put a word to describe hoped. In other words, Jesus becomes your hope in whatever source you have. Y'all, this is why I wrote the book, Jesus, the Filler of Our Needs. He becomes your hope. That's it for you and me. But let me warn you. When a hope gets established in your heart, now this is not a negative thing, this is a positive thing, okay? But I just want you to know before you go somewhere with this. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 tells you that every word of the Lord is tested. Do not add to it or take away from it, lest you be proved a liar. When you set up Jesus as a hope for your soul, guess what Satan will do? He will test that word. Is it true for you? It's what is declared in the courtroom of heaven. Is it true? I remember when I was, you know, I was really set my heart to memorize Psalm 25. You know, no, not 25. 27. Yeah, I need to work on it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I know the verse. Somebody help me here. Somebody look that up. Is it Psalm 27? I don't want to misread it. Psalm 25 is, I lift my soul to you. Psalm 27 is, my Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Yeah, okay, God, yes. I got it. And I'm memorizing that, you know where? In the cool breeze of my easy chair at my house. Yeah, God. Yeah, Jesus. You're my hope. And in the midst of adverse circumstances. And I'm sorry I'm bringing up a past thing, but I just want to put it in context. Psalm 27. Thank you, babe. You know, until that time that I'm getting ready to go to Beirut and George comes to me and says, Rick, you know that they're having these bombs go off every day in Beirut, huh? I'm going, George, shh. But in the back of this is Christ, you know, where Jesus is the light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, whom shall I dread? And then I get on the airplane in Paris to go to France, I mean, go from Paris to the Lebanon, and the guy sits next to me, why are you going to Lebanon? Don't you know it's dangerous? And I'm going, I want to say, shut up. But somebody came and told him he was in their seat. I think he was sent by the devil to tell me that, literally. But what was good was what? Emotions are signals of events. So when he said that, fear whopped up in me for me to just go, oh, deny that, confess that verse, trying to stuff it down. That's deception. But when all of a sudden I'm realizing I've got fear, that's telling me that there's not the truth of God. That truth of which I have tried to confess into my life is not in my heart. It's here. I need it here. And you remember what understanding has got to do with applying it. And so in a 4-hour plane ride from Paris to Lebanon, I had the privilege of being able to pray and deal with the strongholds that were blocking me off from God's presence, provisions, or the revelation of that truth into my heart. So that by the time I landed in Beirut, that the reality of that passage was true. So that I could ride right through Hezbollah territory while it was crazy, roll my window down and stick my American head out just sightseeing and looking at all the other people with AK-47s on the street corners. I was at peace. Christ in me, the what? Hope of glory. Or when God says to me in Croatia this time, Rick, I am with you. I'm with you. And I'm getting ready to get on the airplane. A few hours, interns waking up at 4:30 in the morning to get on the plane, and all of a sudden my heart goes into AFib. And I normally used to have to go to the hospital and deal with that to get it back in. But God says, I'm with you. Lord, I don't have time to deal with this. He says, I'm with you. And he took care of it. Because why? I set my hope on him. And he enabled the circumstances and situations of which I was encountering his life to be drawn out by the hope that is in me. Him. He changes the circumstances. Now, I'll say something later about that. It's fixing hope. Now, the second thing you got to realize is exactly what I said is that when you fix hope, you will be tested. You will be tempted. And I just want to say this, y'all. You're going to be tempted or tested anyway. Can I ask a question? Is there anyone in this room in the last week that has not faced trials and tribulations? Please raise your hand, and I will ask you to pray for me. Is there? No, that is, in this world, you will have what? Tribulation. So get it out of your head that you're looking for the everyday, peaceful, forever, whatever. Forever and ever after, whatever. I can't even say it. Happily ever after. Yeah, I mean, God wants us to live in joy and victory in the midst of it. But y'all, that is a characteristic of this world. It is the characteristics of the world. Our Father in heaven is not the ruler of this world. He happens to be in heaven. And so why am I bringing that up? I'm preaching out of the wrong notes. I better put this behind. Sorry. Let's go. Okay, notice, go to the next slide. Watch this in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, for God who has said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. In other words, that's in you. God has shown into our hearts so that into our hearts to give the light of the glory. Christ in you, hope of glory. Go to the next slide. Watch this. But we have this treasure. Christ in us, hope of glory. You have this treasure, what? In earthen vessels. Why did God put treasure in earthen vessels? Earthen vessels. Why did he do that? Notice the next verse. Nope, I'm sorry, not that next verse, that verse. So that the surpassing greatness of the power of God and not be of ourselves, but of him. Well, guess what? He ain't expected Rick to do this thing. Praise God. Let that just come off my soul because I can't do it. When you face hell, guess what? It's an opportunity for the reality that it's not, whatever you're facing, is not of you. You know, I was talking to Anthony this last week, and Anthony Howard, and, you know, he's going, man, a paraphrase of what I heard Anthony say is when Anthony tries to live a circumstance, guess what? He gets him. And it's ugly. No offense, Anthony, but it's ugly. But, you know, the reality is it's ugly when Rick tries it. I remember one time a friend of mine said, you know, Rick, we don't need no Sizemore flesh. We know what that looks like. Because what happens is, y'all, the situations, look at this. I'm sorry. We are afflicted in every way. That Greek word there for afflicted is the Greek word for tribulation. You are tribulated. Tribulation means the squeeze, the pressure. You are tribulated in every way, but guess what? You're not crushed. You're perplexed, but you're not despairing. Go on to the next slide. I can't remember what the next one goes. But let me just speak it. It's a good one. It says, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. Wow. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the spirit of faith, now there's a whole nother rabbit. According to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. In other words, y'all, you're encountering situation. Christ is your hope. All of a sudden, you encounter a tribulation. Well, guess what? There is the opportunity for the life of Jesus to be manifested in you. And when you overcome that adversity, that situation, there is a measure. I'm going to use it in why I'll say it in a second. There's a measure of the resurrection power of Jesus is manifested in your life. That's the way it works. And I use the word measure, and I'll come back to it in a second. Because go to the next slide here where I'm already there, Galatians 2:20. Because why? You encounter a tribulation. Christ is your hope. You've got that opportunity now in this situation to live by what? Faith in what? In the Son of God who died and gave himself up for you. So in that tribulation, you have an opportunity. Okay, God, I'm going to live by faith. Now, because y'all, you've got three choices. I do want to let you know this, and you already probably know this, but I'm just going to put it together for you so you can realize what you're doing. You face a tribulation. I don't know, whatever it is. You know, Leah's giving Mitch a hard time. She's tribulating him. He ain't communicating to her, and so Leah's letting him know. And so he's tribulating in his relationship. Well, he's got a choice here. He can either live by faith to Jesus, going, okay, Lord, you tell me to live by faith and love my wife and accept what she's saying into my life. I receive it. Or hear what you're saying about who I am in my relationship. Or whatever. Whatever, however. Because faith comes by what? Yeah, and then hearing what? The Word of God. But it comes by hearing. In fact, can I put a commercial in here? When you face, or I face a tribulation, the very first thing is, y'all, is not to ask God for a way out, but ask what God is saying in the midst of the storm. That's why it says in James chapter 1, verse 3, 2 following, 3 following, count it all joy, encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of faith produces endurance, but let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You're in the midst of a trial. Don't ask for the way out. Ask for wisdom. What are the movements of God in that situation? What do you hear? What is God saying? So live by faith. I was saying something. Three responses. You hear the voice of God and live in faith. Or you exercise faith in your power, your ability to get things done. Again, can I pick on you, Anthony? Anthony was sharing with me that usually when he gets tribulated in relationships, he uses anger to protect himself. True? Sorry to throw you to the dogs. What? He's good at it, too. So he thinks. But, so he's got that choice. Or exercise faith in your abilities, or what we'll do is we'll go into pity parties and we just shut down. You just go, okay, I can't do it. And I want you to realize this. One of the past scriptures big to me is in Romans chapter 4. I can't remember, like verse 20, 21, where it talks about Abraham, that when he considered his body good as dead. Now here his wife is barren, and his body, he got beyond the age that he could, quote, normal circumstances. I don't know. That's all I know is he says he considered his body good and dead, as good as dead. It says that he did not grow weak in faith. See, whenever our abilities get limited, many times we go into depressions because we can't handle things. And that's the opportunity to exercise faith in Jesus to bring us through this. God, I don't know what you're doing, but you walk through this thing. And y'all, it kind of interests me. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why don't you get me out of the valley of the shadow of death? No, he says, I'm with you. Man, okay, God. Exercise faith in the midst of the circumstance and situation, knowing that whatever circumstance that I'm in is an opportunity for the life of Jesus to be manifested. And the last thing I want to share about this, y'all, is this. Y'all, God is not out to make the totality of Jesus imprinted on your soul all at once. Because I say this, y'all, you cannot handle it. Because what does he say? So, it's in verse before this says that God would strengthen you with power through his spirit in the inner man so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Heart, plural. In other words, there's many rooms in your heart. And you've heard me say this before, but your heart is like a giant house. Your heart contains your programming. Your heart is who you are. And so what happens is, it's like in that Revelations passage where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone invites me, I will come in and I will sup with them and he with me. In other words, what's going to happen is you're going to face incrementally situations and circumstances in this world. You're going to face tribulations in particular areas of your life, and in those particular areas of life, there is an opportunity for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to be manifested in your life and my life. Don't be despair. And I'm sitting here saying this to myself too, so because y'all, I've got this opportunities in this too. Yeah. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. So, y'all, the invitation is that I want to declare. I hope I didn't make you depressed by saying, oh, dude, tribulation, whoa. I just want to say this, y'all. You are more than conquerors because of the one who dwells in you. You're the beach ball that can't be kept down underwater because of the one who dwells in you. The question is, are we going to try to do it? Are we going to exercise our faith in the life of God, either trusting in his nature and character or believing in his word? I mean, there's some financial situations that Paul and I have been facing, and I've been going, okay, God. You know, I've been going, Lord, I don't know why I keep going to this passage, but Hebrews 13, 5, 6, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hence, I confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can a man or woman do to you? My question is, first thing is, what is your hope right now? I know every one of you in this room have got circumstances. You got tribulations. You got trials that you're going through. You got adversities you're going through. The first question is, what is your hope? If you have no hope, you will be hopeless because hope is an anchor of your soul. It pulls you through it. It draws the very life of God out of you. It's the anchor. It's the object of your faith. As you face that tribulation, then there's that opportunity to attach your heart by either believing in His word or trusting in His nature and character. Knowing it's just this situation, this circumstance is one particular area in your life, and God is not trying to birth the fullness of Jesus in your life all at once. You know, I've been in this thing for over a long time. We've been married 40 years since I got saved before that. So, but y'all, and I, there's still glory, man, you know, levels of glory God is revealing and levels of glory to receive by faith. And as it, those levels of glory get revealed, it brings the life of Jesus out. That Jesus, you know, Paul is not, she does not see the same life that was in our marriage in 1978. The life that is in our marriage is at a different level than it was then. Yeah. And you know, and you know, when, you know, every one of you had known me, and I've known you, and seeing the different levels of life of Jesus. So y'all, here's the thing this morning that I believe the call is for us to surrender the keys of our lives to Him. Okay, Jesus, You drive the car. And I'll exercise faith in You, and I'll sit in the car and not try to help You do it. One of Paula's frustrations is that I'll try to help her drive. That's not faith. Faith is you get in the car and you go to sleep. I can do that. So anyway. Amen. You got anything you want to add? Do what? Can I call for the George? He was there. He got raptured. Oh, there he is. Can I have prayer teams come up, please, and worship team? Yeah, Jesus. Before we close and leave, I just really feel like there's some business that we need to transact. Some of you need some help in some of the circumstances and situation you're facing. You need hope. And that is what we're here for. Also, here's Michelle. She's going to believe for some people, anybody that's dealing with their rejection. I know that's out here too. And so don't go, I can't go there because people will know that I'm dealing with rejection if I could talk to Michelle. You know what? There you go. I heard a guy say one time, he says, when your embarrassment factor exceeds your, when your desperation factor exceeds your embarrassment factor, you become a candidate for the grace of God. So, if you're desperate.
I can't shake the feeling that there, you know, a lot of times there's an altar call is something amazing. It's a life-changing opportunity in somebody's life. I responded to a word one day, and it changed and shifted the course of my destiny. So I don't want to hype this up, but I can't shake the feeling that there's an opportunity that God is extending to a few specific people this morning. And again, it's not like this is a magical moment. This isn't a magical place. This isn't necessarily a magical time, but Jesus is an amazing God. And He stands at the door and He's knocking. And for some of you, He's been persistent. And He's just stood there patiently, lovingly, just knocking. And I just really feel like He wants you to remind you that He's knocking this morning too. And if today is the day for you to respond to that knock, I just want to give that opportunity and encourage you and say, man, He's faithful to come in and dine with you. So maybe that's you.
So I don't want to put you into something, but I do want to give an invitation that we can agree for something. Can we make some confessions here of truth, God's word? So repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, I confess the resurrection power, the resurrection life of Jesus dwells in me. Lord, I declare I have been crucified with Christ. My old self has been in the tomb. The fears, the frustrations, the addictions, the sins have been put in the tomb. And I'm in Christ, and I'm a new creation. And Lord, I just call forth right now the life of Jesus to come forth out of me. I set as my hope you, Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. So let me pray something. Lord, I just pray just fears come off of us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare into us the reality, the resurrected Lord of Lords abides in us. And Lord, he's standing at the door's knock. Lord, and you're wanting to empower us to live in victory. Many times you grieve because we have tried to take things and do them on ourselves, and then we turn around and blame you for the mistakes and the failures and the frustrations in our life. And Lord, you're just frustrated to go and say, I could overcome those things. So Lord, I pray, Lord, the lies, the deceptions that the enemy has put in our hearts, Lord, saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Lord, I speak those be gone in the name of Jesus because you can. And so, Lord, we call forth hope in you. Hope in you, the resurrected Lord in us, Christ in us, hope of glory. I call it forth in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we bless you. We thank you. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. And we're just going, hold on.
I do want to, I mean, it's kind of weird. In prayer, Ron, I don't know where he's at. Ron will do some interesting things every once in a while. And so I'm not paying attention, but all of a sudden he starts knocking on the door back there in the prayer room, and he's just praying, you know, that. And then Rick speaks that knocking on the door in his message, and then Joe speaks as well. So, I mean, when I see the things of three, I start going, all right, God, you're saying something bigger than... So there is someone, there is some people in this room that need Jesus. God's been knocking on your door. And whatever that is, maybe it's, again, I encourage you, maybe it's knocking on the door of your heart in relationship to salvation, and you just need to come and say, gee, I have to get in Christ. Rick's been talking about in Christ all morning, and I'm not even there yet because I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to get in Christ today. And if that's been something on your heart, come get one of these people. I mean, Nick loves to pray for people that in relationship to that. Joe, any of these guys will pray for you. Come find us. Pray for that. But some of us have at the same time been knocking. There's been areas in our heart. Maybe it's one of those rooms that Rick was talking about. Not necessarily salvation, but it's a room of rejection, or it's a room of frustration, a room of whatever that looks like. Maybe you've just been, it's been locked up and you've thrown away the key. God's going to help you find the key because he's knocking. He doesn't really need the key. He can walk right through it, really. But he's not going to do that against your will. Invite him in. He's knocking. So I just want to pray that. Like when I heard the third person today say, "Knock, God's knocking on the door," that just makes me think there's something bigger there. And so can we just stand in that? Did you have anything else that you were going to speak?
Or did you want to pray? No, you pray. But come here. I just feel like I got to share something in honor. If y'all just humor me about this. This is a deal about in the midst of trials and tribulations and setting hope up and exercising faith in it. I believe with all my heart, because I saw it manifested in my mom the night my mom died. She's fighting pneumonia, trying to breathe. And I heard her confessing out of her mouth in between the breaths, the fighting to breathe, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do. And you know what? In that, the life, the resurrection life of Jesus manifested in that room. So much that it impacted my life. And I just needed to share that because really to honor mom. But how one of the reasons why I know this is true. The life of Jesus in us.
So, Lord, we just we receive that this morning. God, we don't want to keep trying to keep from dying. Some of us are trying to keep from dying this morning. And God, I just pray that we would choose to live to you. Lord, choose to live to your goodness and your glory. God, fixing our eyes on you, Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith, looking to you. Lord, I just pray that we receive this word this morning. I just pray that, God, that we would receive that word in relationship to God's knocking on your door. If that's you, just keep, just come on up. Nobody has to wait for me to finish this prayer. If you want to receive Jesus, if you want a prayer this morning, just come and get that. But God, I just pray in the name of Jesus this morning, you're knocking. You're knocking on those areas of our heart, Lord. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, we say yes. Come on in. Yes, come on in. Heal. Yes, come on in. Save. Yes, come on, deliver. Lord, just even as Michelle was talking about being delivered in relationship to rejection, God, I just pray in Jesus' name, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day of deliverance and resurrection power in Jesus' name. And we just declare that, we receive it, and we say yes, Lord, you're knocking. Come on in. You're knocking. Come on in Jesus' name. And we say yes to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to release you, but hopefully I'm going to release you to come get prayer this morning before you leave. If that's you, if God's speaking that to you, if you need Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you need Jesus to come and just love on you, encourage you, pray for physical healing, spiritual healing, whatever, come and get prayer this morning. Amen. Have a great week.